claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event.
Well, this is weird. I don't hear James. I don't hear Rev Radio at all, and I'm connected.
David Scorpio.
Oh wow.
They have a lot of server
Giuseppe
problems.
Bafang.
I'll see if I can hear the radio.
History is made. And now the event.
Huh. I guess we're on. I couldn't hear anything. Jim, we're on.
Well, I'm just delighted to welcome everyone to the event where we have David Scorpio and Giuseppe Bafangulo joining me for a Revolution Radio simulcast over both studios. Our special guest today, Basil Valentine, is from the UK. He's a member of Bafangulo's group. On the Sunday Wire, he's ready to discuss the latest UK news and conspiracy topics. I'm just delighted to have Basil join us today. Welcome to the event.
I'm thrilled to be here, Jim, and I consider it a great honor to be on the panel.
Well, those are very kind words, Basil. We're fascinated by all the good work you've been doing out of the UK. Give us an inkling of some of the latest developments, and I know we have a short video to play that Giuseppe has lined up. Go.
Well, as I say, my colleague.
Giuseppe Mitchell's telling me that they don't have audio here at Revolution Radio, so I'm not quite sure what to say about this.
Okay, hold on. Something is still echoing.
Not quite.
Let's see if I can fix this. Okay, should be able to hear us now, so.
He hears you. Yes, he hears you.
Okay.
Well, let's back up and do an instant rewind.
Sure.
You can hear me as well.
Okay, let me.
Very, very unfortunate. Basil, please give us an instant recap of the key points you were making before we actually got on the air.
Yes, Patrick Henningsen, founder and editor of 21st Century Wire, a widely respected website, which he is extremely diligent and careful about to maintain a position on the issues, which is always backed up by evidence, by reasoned argument. He doesn't speculate excessively on that website at all about, name names and demonize people. It's an extremely, well-produced site. He's been taken off Twitter. The site is still up. Please go there. Please comment on articles. Please like and share and do whatever you can with 21st Century Wire. But Patrick himself was wiped off Twitter for sharing a link to a 21st Century Wire article, which itself linked to global research. And needless to say, the contents of the article was counter to the, which let's say, the still prevailing COVID narrative, although how it's managing to hold water at this point, I have absolutely no idea. Surely, Jim, even in your huge experience, we've never been in a situation where the mainstream narrative has been such obvious nonsense and yet continues to be repeated ad nauseam by what I always refer to these days as the lying corporate media. I mean, in the last week, Jimmy Dore, who I've got a lot of time for, who was himself injured by his first so-called vaccination, exhaustively went through a report of Harvard University in the European Journal of Epidemiology, which cited that, if anything, this is a huge, large population-based study, if anything, the vaccinated were more likely to contract COVID and be hospitalized than the unvaccinated. Certainly no less so. Okay. So, and yet this, you know, this study is sort of completely ignored by the mainstream media. We continue to have this, all these spikes in cases in spite of people being vaccinated, lots of people who were vaccinated dying, tremendous downplaying of the so-called side effects, you know. And yet, this insane, it's the only way to describe it, this insane hysterical obsession with getting a needle into everybody's arm continues apace.
Yeah, it's absolutely madness. This is Giuseppe. It's wonderful you're here again, Basil. And to me, it's underscored the lunacy of the plutocrats, the globalist parasites, that you've got Pfizer's own study recently revealed that once you're injected with the death jab, you're 30 times more likely to get sick with COVID than unvaccinated. Contrast that fact with the lies of the new CDC director, the happy merchant, Wojcicki or whatever her name is. She's a quack and a fraud. And she claims that unvaccinated are 10 times more likely to get COVID. I mean, by and large, anyone with any kind of investigative ability, which sadly is not very many normies, can dig this information up. It can't be suppressed. And yet there's this massive push to globally inoculate the Goyim cattle. It's just unbelievable to me.
And of course, the statistics are staggering. The WHO has its own adverse effects website with over 2 million damaged patients, recipients of the jab, 70% of whom are women, only 30% men. And where it turns out that the prior year, there were only 2,000. So we had a 1,000-fold increase in 1 year because of the jab. And before that, the year was only 87 and then 2 and 1. I mean, the situation is stunning. Everyone who is following these statistics is aware that the situation is catastrophic and that if the FDA or the CDC were acting in a responsible fashion, they would have withdrawn these products long, long ago. Typically, you have just a few adverse effects, 5, 10 deaths, for example. It's more than sufficient. And now we're in the potentially millions of deaths from the jab. Stunning. Scorpio.
Well, great to have you on, Basil. Good to talk to you again. And, you know, what's amazing is that some of these statistics are actually starting to make their way into the mainstream media talk radio, which it's unprecedented to hear, you know, people on regular talk shows talking about some of this information and some of these statistics. And, of course, they're baffled as to why this is happening because they're clueless. But still, it's amazing that they're having real problems keeping all the, you know, holes in the dam plugged up here because the information is so overwhelming. And, you know, going back to the original conversation about the Twitter banning and, you know, the banning at Facebook and Twitter, all these sites, really what it comes down to, they claim it's you're violating community standards. What it really comes down to, and it's becoming, you know, painfully obvious to many people, is that if you're information contradicts the official government narrative, then you are going to be banned. That's really, it's as simple as that. And that is an incredibly dangerous situation for any society to be in. where the media is simply the cheerleader for the government narrative.
Yes, yeah, so speaking of government, in the UK last week, a former government minister, still a high-ranking Conservative MP, David Davis, he made a speech at a fringe event organised by a very worthwhile organisation here in the UK called Big Brother Watch. And they organised an anti-vaccine passport meeting as a fringe meeting at the Conservative Party conference. So that's our governing party, okay? And a fringe meeting well attended by various Conservative Party luminaries, including the former Brexit minister, former Home Secretary, David Davis, who made a speech in opposition. He's long since been a champion of civil liberties. He made a speech in opposition to vaccine passports, which fortunately we still don't have, but which are sort of constantly being threatened, even though they would be of no benefit whatsoever in stopping anything at all, except stopping people going about their lawful business. Anyway, he made a speech opposing vaccine passports, and it was taken down by Twitter as being misinformation. Now, because he was a Conservative MP, and because Big Brother watched the things, you don't take that YouTube distorted after about 48 hours. With the coming over, we can't possibly check anything. But that's where we're at. You know, even government ministers in the UK can be censored.
That's just simply staggering. And what it shows is we have an agenda, a covert agenda that's sort of extra governmental in some ways that supersedes all law. It supersedes all regular functions of government. And so another thing that I find interesting about this is the more this covert power flexes its muscles, the more it reveals itself. And so I think this is a difficult situation for the conspirators, because they like to stay in the shadows and stay secret, but the more they flex their power, the more it becomes obvious to the general public that something ain't right.
Well, this is it. What I have noticed on Twitter, which is, and to a lesser extent, Facebook, on social media, because that, you know, these days is the public square, is that there's a large swathe of opinion of what one might call Middle England, of what former Prime Minister Harold Wilson used to call the people at home, rather quaintly, of conservatives with a small c, people who traditionally, you know, believe in the slow evolution of institutions and society, not radicals, not hotheads of any description, sort of ordinary, intelligent people, have begun to realise that something is very, very wrong with what's going on at the moment. I mean, just last night, or the night before, the Emergency Coronavirus Powers Act was literally laughed through the House of Commons. There was a pathetic sort of 10 or 15 MPs in the chamber out of 650, and the Deputy Speaker didn't even bother to take a vote. She said, oh, the mood of the House is not to have a division on this matter. And you could hear some distant laughter, and that was it. The most draconian legislation in the history of the UK Parliament was just waved through for another 6 months. And a lot of people, I'm pleased to say, I was pleasantly surprised to say a lot of people have said that this demonstrates the utter contempt in which politicians hold the general public, and perhaps equally relevant, the utter contempt in which they hold our civil liberties. I mean, somebody's pointed out recently this whole lockdown business, a term, of course, which comes from prison, from the penal system.
Right.
You know, we had it for a few weeks back in March, April, then it was semi-lifted, never fully lifted, and then reimposed and all the rest of it. And we've come now to a situation where the relationship between government and individuals in wider society is one of a sort of sadomasochistic control, with anything and everything we do simply being by privilege rather than by right. The nature of the relationship between the individual and the state has changed over the last 18 months. And it's difficult to say it's ever going to return to what it was. Now, we hear about the Great Reset all the time, the Build Back Better, all these other ludicrous slogans. And, you know, things are never going to be the same again. Well, people say they're never going to be the same again economically or in terms of a Green New Deal or in terms of COVID safety measures. But the one in which, the important one in which they're never going to be the same again is the relationship between the individual and the state.
Well, I'll just add one more thing. You know, I agree with that. But on top of that, I think the social contract and the trust that people used to have, I think is forever shattered. They're going to have real trouble building that back better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're, you know, for a long time on both sides of the Atlantic, there's been a schism between elected officials and the people that elect them. In the States, you've got this ludicrous situation with this sort of lifetime members of Congress who can never get shifted. You know, your Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi's of this world. And it's quite obvious they don't give a stuff about anybody except themselves and their own special interest groups quietly lining their pockets for decade after decade. And in Britain, I'm afraid to say we're heading down the same road. A situation which is only going to be made worse by the appalling murder last week of the senior Conservative MP, Sir David Amess, who was himself opposed to vax passports, quite a traditional libertarian-minded Conservative MP. And his death is now going to be used. I mean, the fact that it was the one-off action of a Somalian madman is neither here nor there. It's being used instead, as is so often the case these days, to conflate online so-called threats with, you know, actual physical harm. Now, we've long since had plenty of laws around conspiracy to murder, offering people violent threats. There's an online harms bill on its way through Parliament. And for some reason, although it's got absolutely nothing to do with it, as has been pointed out many, many times, it looks like the UK government are going to want to try and do away with all online anonymity, whether or not that means you'll be able to use a handle of some sort in order to, you know, just sort of say who you are, and as people do with avatars, in a sort of more jokey way, or to point out your opinions or background or something. I don't know. Or whether or not you're going to have to sort of upload passport photographs in order to log on to Skype or this platform or anything else. All that remains to be seen. But as is so often the case these days, a tragedy is being used to further restrict civil liberties, even though that tragedy itself had absolutely nothing to do with the impending legislation.
Scorpio.
Well, what's interesting about this, too, is here, you know, the government's own policy of allowing, you know, all these so-called refugees to come in the country caused this guy wouldn't have been in the country without this bizarre replacement level immigration policy of the government itself. And here now we have the solution, which is, oh, well, let's take away your civil liberties because of something the government did. It's staggering. And I was just curious, Basil, do you think that this guy was possibly targeted and that this person that supposedly did the murder was possibly some kind of dupe or a mind control victim? Or what are your thoughts on that? Or is that just...
You know, I just jolly well hope not, Scorpio. When it happened, I thought, you know, oh dear. But then as details emerged, I thought, well, I can't see any way they can spin this. He was apparently radicalized online by watching extremist Islamic material. Okay, we've all heard that playbook before. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with 99.999% of the population. The UK government have been running for some years now an anti terrorist operation called Prevent, which is designed to sort of obviously stop people getting radicalized in the first place. So really, any debate around his death should be focused on that. One might also want to ask what he was doing in the country in the first place, but yes. Certainly nothing to do with the, you know, with the vast majority of the British people.
Well, and lastly, I'll turn it back over to Jim. You know, incredible how you know, this concept of radicalization is being turned against people who are against the jab or against this whole insane agenda. They're trying to be, you know, trumped up, so to speak, as domestic terrorists.
Yeah, exactly. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. That's what I was coming on to. Any form of dissent is starting to be, or they're trying to start, I don't want to affirm these things, trying to start to tar any form of dissent, any disagreement with established narratives around, not just around COVID, but possibly around the Green New Deal, around anything at all, frankly, as dangerous, you know, as potentially leading to events that, led up to the murder of David Evans. Of course, it's got absolutely nothing to do with it. But you're finding the same thing in the United States. I shared the link to Tucker's terrific segment last week about Merrick Garland deciding that angry school moms who are fed up with their children being taught critical race theory or being forced to wear masks are somehow now domestic terrorists. So having first set up this character, this category of sort of uniquely evil people at the start of this century with that whole 9/11 lie, terrorist, or is it, you know, this is the war terror now. The terrorist is the worst kind of person in the world because we don't know how and when he's going to strike, and he has to be locked up in advance of doing anything wrong because it's too late afterwards. And people go, oh, okay, maybe, you know, maybe we do need to lock some people up before they've done anything bad because we don't know when they're going to do it. But then once you start shifting this definition of terrorist onto just, you know, dissidents, basically, well, you're in a very, very dark place. And I'm afraid that is the road that we seem to be heading down on both sides of the Atlantic.
Well, and don't forget, they hate our freedom, Basil. So that's the whole point, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just it's look, we're paying the price in this current crisis. I'm sure Jim would agree that on the sort of 3D level, on, you know, in terms of government, media, people, the relationship between the three, you can draw a line from November 1963 in Dallas through 9/11 to the present day, where lies have been built on lies and more lies, and we're now just simply living in an empire of lies. And one of the things that, of course, the UK is now looking at again in the wake of this murder, although I'll say it again, absolutely nothing to do with it, is this whole question of so-called misinformation, which is basically anything that the government disagrees with. Now, you know, sooner or later, things are going to have to be tested in a court of law, aren't they, over the major events that I've just referred to, or frankly, any other event. We can't have a situation, although we've got it, where people are censored for saying things that are fundamentally true. But unfortunately, we live in societies which have fallen out of love with the truth. You know, where in fact, and this is really the most bizarre thing, and then I'll shut up for a few minutes, the very term truth has become something of an insult, or a term of denigration. Oh, he's a 9/11 truther, you know, means he's some kind of kook, right? This is a total inversion of where we should be as a society.
Oh, Basil, I think you got that 100% correct. Anyone who seeks to speak the truth is attacked, vilified, suppressed, canceled. My Twitter account was canceled with no notice or advance. I was cut off from Facebook years ago. Apparently, the site is moving forward without me. I've had hundreds of videos removed from YouTube. The suppression has been massive. When we, who are in the truth community, are doing our very best to inform the American people in the belief that they're entitled to know the truth about their own history, and you in the UK appear to be performing a similar task with like or comparable reception from the authorities in the position to censor and suppress you. It's outrageous, truly Orwellian. Giuseppe.
Well, speaking of Orwellian, Basil, I'm curious to get your thoughts on when the pseudo fake royalty of the United States, the devil Bill Gates, paid a visit to the United Kingdom. And I saw before the show, we were discussing this and saw pictures of him with Bojo, Boris Johnson, your prime minister. And then you said that he went and visited the Queen. So your thoughts on American techno royalty, devil Bill Gates visiting the United Kingdom.
Yeah, he had the dinner with Boris the night before last. And then last night he was at a reception at Windsor Castle with the 95-year-old monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. It was a reception for global investment, of course. What else would it be? You know, you'll find snapshots of Bill Gates in the line there, greeting the Queen, who's now about 4'11", by the way. She's really very, very tiny. As I said in a tweet, you know, Bill Gates has, strictly speaking, no more standing with the British people than any other American tourist. He just happens to be enormously rich and has used his wealth to buy influence. It has now become increasingly obvious that we live in an oligarchical plutocracy, with a policy being decided by people like Gates, who nobody has ever voted for. I mean, strictly speaking, you could say, well, of course, the Prime Minister is entitled to entertain whoever he likes as a private guest or whatever. But really, the minutes of any meeting he has with Gates should be recorded and made public, including whatever they talked about over dinner. You know, why does this man who has his particular interest, as I say, I'll say it again, yes, of course, he's rich, you know, but that, does that mean by he operates by a completely different set of ethics from the rest of society? Well, unfortunately, I mean, it does these days. You know, it does. Yeah. Our world has effectively been bought and paid for. You know, it's a situation that's, if anything, even worse on your side of the Atlantic than the domination of politics by money. All I will say is that a larger proportion of the population are beginning to wake up to the fact that, you know, that we're now in a plutocracy and that democracy is dead. There is hope. You know, the little by little, people are waking up in spite of this sort of relentless stream of propaganda we live under, you know.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, essentially, we allow the goyim cattle, allow these, literally in the physical numbers, this handful of globalist parasites to control everything. And it just blows my mind that people are going along with it, taking this injection that they did not research. I mean, to trust any agency in the United Kingdom, in the United States, regarding your health is just—it's just absolute weak-minded lunacy. And yet, here we are.
Scorpio.
Well, I thought some interesting points were made here. By the way, I really like your term of empire of lies. That's exactly what this is. And, you know, in terms of this so-called quaxine, you know, it's a well-established medical law that you have the right to refuse any medical treatment, even life-saving medical treatment. So, you know, this whole thing is just, there's no legal precedent behind any of it, yet they continue forward with it. And I just feel like we're going to reach a breaking point here soon. Even, I think, as you mentioned, the average normie, more and more people are starting to realize something's just not right. And apparently Bill Gates' car was, or limo, was sort of surrounded by protesters, and people were pounding on the car and saying that he should be arrested. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tiny number of people. In fact, one of them is one of the ringleaders, a sort of professional activist these days, is the former Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn's brother, Piers, who is in fact a meteorologist and climatologist and one of the most articulate and vocal opponents of the man-made global warming agenda. And he's also anti-lockdown, anti-mask, and, you know, very much on the right side of history where the so-called pandemic is concerned. And he was there with his megaphone at the gates. You know, he's, I think he's sort of something of an embarrassment to his brother. But yeah, there's a small number of people there. I mean, what good is it going to do? But I mean, at least it sort of, it indicates to Gates in his car as he drives down Downing Street that he doesn't, you know, that, some of us are alive to him and his games. Do you know what I mean? At least he's sort of aware of the fact that there is opposition. Not going to make any difference or anything, but, you know.
Well, yeah, my comment would be, you know, this idea of an elite that runs outside of traditional values and morals was, you know, essentially predicted or, let's say, described by Bezhnev Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, talking about the technocratic world between two ages, that the world was going to be ruled by a technocratic elite who were devoid and beyond traditional morality. And here we are.
Yeah, exactly. I think that level of wealth and power and influence starts to do strange things to the mind and ego. I can't pretend I know Bill Gates, but I have had, you know, my background has brought me occasionally sort of within the orbit of circles of power, and there's a sort of fundamental arrogance around these people, which becomes almost pathological. You know, they realize they have to put on a sensible face for members of the general public and sound reasonable, but behind the scenes, it's quite obvious that they have. Well, I hate to use it again, but you know, the only, you know, the most fitting one is contempt. You know. For, you know, what once used to be referred to as the great unwashed.
It's stunning, Basil, Jim, and Scorpio, that it's not just the propped up billionaire class. You get that same contempt from the government puppets at even the state level, even the local level. You get the same contempt from corporate middle management on up. You get the same contempt from the clown car that is modern academia. You get the same contempt from these propped up celebrities. It's really bizarre that all these fake leaders all just despise the herd. It's really insane.
Basil, what do you take of the latest events here in the United States, Biden's mandates and all that stuff? It looks like a lot of happy horseshit. It's got no legal significance. They're pulling one bluff after another, claiming there's a mandate, but making no measures. OSHA hasn't published anything, not moving forward. Yet many companies are doing putting pressure on their employees to take the jab. We've got half of police forces ready to resign. It, the half of the military may be wiped out. It seems to me they're succeeding in destroying America using the jab as a brilliant device to be their mechanism, their cutting edge, and it's working.
Well, I was pleased to see that Delta for American Airlines last week said a lot of the flights were cancelled because of bad weather, and then it turned out actually it had nothing to do with the weather. Everybody else was flying, the weather was the same from the other airlines. They just simply let off a lot of handing in their boots, City Hall in Seattle, that's an encouraging sign. You know, anecdotally, I think most people, I think it would be fair to say, know of somebody, if not personally, then tangentially, who has had an adverse reaction to the jab, or who has contracted COVID after having the jab. And it's difficult to know which is which. So for all the media pressure and for all the mandates, the rational actor is going to say thanks, but no thanks. You know, what on earth is the need for this thing when it doesn't work anyway? So, you know, I hope, you know, all, you know, so hold the line, stand firm. You know, it's very, very difficult in the face of this, you know, the appalling the barrage from the likes of MSNBC and CNN. Fortunately, their viewing figures have gone absolutely through the floor, quite rightly so, you know. So, you know, we the American people have been haven't been tested this sorely since, you know, since the 18th century, if you ask me. There's never been a situation like this. It's quite unprecedented.
Excellent point.
Well, I hate to say it, Basil, but the American people are the most gullible population in the world, easily manipulated by television, which we all know is the greatest instrument for propaganda and brainwashing ever designed by the hand of man, scientifically illiterate, disinclined to do any research, frankly, so consumed by the task of getting food on the table and keeping a roof over their head. If they hear sound bites from a couple of different sources, such as CNN or NBC, they just take for granted it must be true, not realizing they're all reading from the same script. So that we in the alternative media find it extremely frustrating because those we would most like to influence are completely closed off, won't listen, and dismiss us as conspiracy theorists, when what we're doing is investigating crimes largely committed by the government, where the government wants to suppress us because it leads back to them. So it's a very nice self-sealing situation to attack those who are doing serious conspiracy research by the CIA, which is conspiracy central, has perpetrated conspiracies all over the world. The coup in Iran in 1953, machine gunning Salvador Allende in Chile, taking out the Diem brothers, attempting to overthrow Castro. Anywhere there's a nationalist leader who wants to use the natural resources of their country to benefit their own citizens, he's targeted by the CIA on behalf of multinational corporations. Our history is just disgraceful again and again and again.
You know, you're absolutely right, Jim. I mean, you must have noticed how the term conspiracy theorist, or the rest of it, has shifted from a tiny section in the esoteric bookshops into something that's a term that's now bandied about in the mainstream media on a daily basis. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean that the facts, that the evidence is ever examined in a lucid, non-partisan way in order to draw the sort of intelligent, evidence-based conclusions that should be the legacy of the Enlightenment. Unfortunately, that isn't the case. We are in danger of completely losing the legacy of the Enlightenment in favor of a sort of a new medievalism, really, where faith in certain individuals and totems, be they the Vax, be they Fauci, is held as supreme above all other evidence, real or imagined, you know. So, you know, we're moving to a sort of twilight world, and that's partly because of the absence of any proper public forum. You know, really, why isn't there a two-hour special on CBS tonight between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. with various doctors, physicians, you know, members of the public, whatever? You know, everybody gets a 10-minute presentation about why the vax is good, bad, or indifferent, and then there's a public debate on the floor. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
We don't get anything like that. There's no, you know, what's supposed to be a liberal society where important issues are discussed in the round, that's stone dead. And that's one of the scariest things of all.
I do believe the Biden administration committed a massive blunder by having the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury announce that the supply problems of getting goods onto the shelves in grocery stores and drugstores would not be resolved until everyone took the jab. Now, there's no causal connection between taking a vaccine and unloading cargo ships at the ports of the United States, whether it's Long Beach, LA, Savannah, whatever. And it came across as a threat. I do not believe that's playing well with the American people. It's a little too blatant. That just as Donald Trump observed long ago, it's not the virus, it's all about control.
Yeah, I mean, that's become, you know, increasingly self-evident to the point where, well, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm almost lost for words, gentlemen, because I'm so sort of completely gobsmacked at where we are in terms of the paucity of intelligent debate and rational analysis of the situation. We've got governments on your side of the pond, let's not forget, which was completely hijacked in yet another coup. Because I think, looking back on it, you have to ask yourself, well, why were they so desperate to get Trump out? And the answer, I think, is this, that although Trump had the vaccine and was suggesting people go for the vaccine and all the rest of it, Trump would not have imposed these vaccine mandates. You know, so you've got a government that's fundamentally illegitimate, proposing something that's 100% unethical, if not downright illegal. Yeah.
And of course, everyone can see that this Biden guy, who isn't actually the senator from Delaware, but an actor, where they appear to have used several, a recent expose showed they don't even have the same shape of skull, that all this is very well defined. I pointed out any number of features that distinguish the guy who participated in the debate from the senator from Delaware after the very first debate with Donald Trump. The eye color was different. James Woods, the actor, noticed that right off. The ears are different. But it's much more significant than that, including even their signatures, noticed by a pharmacist who spends time comparing signatures to make sure prescriptions are not being obtained illegally. And they're doing, you know, broadcasts from a stage set in the Eisenhower Administrative Building that's a fake White House set, where we have photographs where you can see Biden on the fake set and reporters in the audience, and none of them is blowing the cover. The news media in the United States has disgraced itself. It is completely corrupt, propaganda 24/7, just repulsive. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it is repulsive, and it's just indicative of a media that is completely co-opted by the forces of government and the big corporations, which have essentially merged. Another aspect of this plandemic or scamdemic is that we see the government essentially engaging in a corporate merger with big pharma, buying their product and giving it out for free. Because I was just reading that, you know, the vaccine doses are about $15.95 each, $15.95 each. So we here we have the government buying product and trying to force it on the population, saying you must consume this product or else. It's really quite staggering. And another element about these corporations, you know, pushing the vaccine passport and all of this is that we have, you know, fairly obvious knowledge here that most of these corporations are members of the World Economic Forum. And of course, the World Economic Forum's agenda is 100% on board with all of this. And you just have to wonder what kind of threats and kind of phone calls are being made in the dead of night to these CEOs telling them, you know, hey, you better get on board or else. And I thought, you know, Basil, maybe you could just engage in a little bit of speculation. You know, it seems to me that if they don't do something major on this COVID hoax front coming up here, like, say, around Christmas or into early next year, that this whole agenda is going to start to stall and look pretty stinky. So what do you think is the plan here? I mean, from your point of view or your perspective, are they going to try to milk another big move out of Operation COVID Hoax, or are they possibly going to shift gears and go into, we have a climate emergency. There's a climate emergency. We need to have climate lockdowns, and you can't drive your car anymore, and you can't heat your house. And, oh, by the way, you know, heating oil is going to go up 50%. Sorry about that. Or are we going to see A plus B? What do you think the possibilities are here,
Bob? I think it is A plus B. I'm afraid I think we're going to have a sort of series of rolling emergencies. It's always worth looking at what the mouthpiece of the UK national security state, The Guardian, is saying. And, they're already talking about another wave this winter, another lockdown, all the usual nonsense. The Delta Plus variant is the latest. Have you heard of that?
No, the new and improved Delta variant. That sounds...
That's right. Yeah. It's absolutely endless, isn't it? So Delta Plus is the new one to be afraid of. I think the climate lockdowns, you know, which is surely the most idiotic, obvious nonsense in human history. Yeah. That somehow by us, you know, not running our cars. I mean, the British government have done a complete volte-face in the last few months. Suddenly they want everybody to have heat pumps to heat their houses and to phase out gas-powered central heating completely over the next 10 years. Well, I think something like 10 million households have gas-powered central heating. It works better than anything else. You switch the boiler on, the gas fires up, and you're hot 10 minutes later. You know, they want to try and, you know, give everybody a grant for having a heat exchange system or something instead. You know, and again, a lot of Conservatives with a small C are saying, hang on a minute, we never voted for this, you know. But what the whole COVID nonsense has allowed is various other agendas to kind of sneak up on the rails, right? You know, because of this, we now have because of COVID, we now have to have X, Y, and Z as well. You know what I mean? We saw how the lockdowns work, so. And then maybe they're good for climate. Now, we also need to get the 5G and the Green New Deal at the same time. These things have been slowly advancing under cover of darkness because the eye of Mordor has been elsewhere.
But that is, if I could just add one thing, you know, Jim, you know, you said that comment about the cargo ships not being unloaded till everyone's vaxxed by the assistant. Was a Treasury Department. You know, it's more than, I agree, it's a threat. It's even more than a threat, though. It's actually an admittance of complicity they're actually admitting that, hey, this was done on purpose, and we're going to keep this operation going until all you slaves take the shot. That's sort of how I read it. What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
Oh, you're 100% correct, Scorpio. A clear admission that they're in control and that they're going to basically extort the American people to take a jab that has a very good prospect of killing or maiming them, crippling the American people. I even believe the Colin Powell death here was after he took a booster shot. I was astonished they even admitted he was fully vaxxed because they were reporting it was a complication of COVID, but they were not admitting what I gather to be the case, namely he died following the booster shot. I think that needs to be told to the American people.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that. That's stunning, but not surprising. And, you know, if you follow the website, thecovidblog.com, which is really an amazing site, I recommend everyone go on there and check it out. They are cataloging all the, you know, people, well-known people, vaccine advocates, that are dropping dead or being maimed by this very poison that they are trying to push on the public. Everyone should check that out.
The COVID blog is excellent, and we're coming up in a couple of minutes to the top of the hour break, Basil. So I want to get your thoughts on the new growing phenomenon in the United States. Let's Go Brandon. Are you familiar with Let's Go Brandon?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think somebody's just made it illegal. I think it's just been made illegal in Canada or something for public officials to tweet it or say it or something. But it's obviously it's indicative of the utter contempt in which that barely animated cadaver masquerading as president of the United States is held.
That is exactly right. And even greater contempt for the whorish slut that was installed as the vice president, Heels Up Harris. Unbelievable that fraud is the vice president of the United States. And again, illegally so. She's not eligible to hold either the presidential or the vice presidential office based on the rules that clearly are no longer followed, since neither was the traitor Obama.
Yeah, Barack Obama's been behind so much of this. In fact, he said long ago, when asked if he'd want to have a third term in office, he declined the honor, but said if there were someone else in office and he could manipulate the situation behind the scenes, he would prefer that. I believe that's taking place now, but where he's also under control of the Rothschilds and benefiting the Chinese and destroying America. The man is a complete disgrace, wholly corrupt from head to toe and doing great damage to America. Basil, is this at all obvious from the UK?
Kamala Harris is almost completely invisible in the UK. Doubtless she'll pop up at some point. But we're sort of less aware of Blinken and Harris than probably any other VP and Secretary of State in modern times. I don't think either of them have been here yet. And if they have, it certainly was without any fanfare. We have only a very, you know, limited view of Biden, and I think what people can see of him is that he's obviously senile, you know, and somebody is playing a very cruel trick both on him and on the American people. I mean, even the people, the sort of left of center people I know who absolutely couldn't stand Donald Trump are, you know, I have to admit, well, you know, I couldn't stand Trump, but, you know, all they can say is about Biden is that at least he's not Trump. Nobody can possibly have anything positive to say about this present U.S. administration. You know, it's an utter fiasco, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. I guess we're in the break. I can't hear it, but Mitchell just said we're in the break, so stand by.
Well, I think we're a few seconds away, but Basil, we're simply delighted to have you here with us today and get the perspective from the UK, where you and yours are doing just terrific work. We're delighted.
Thank you very much indeed. We do our best. When we...
We'll come back from the break, and after the bottom of the hour, there will be a break, and I'll invite callers to call in
and
share questions with all of us, but with you in particular, of course. So
the break's going right now. We just can't hear it. I haven't been able to hear anything. Oh, that's trippy. Wow, crazy.
Yeah, man.
I stopped. Let me mute this.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston are broadcasting? This is a drill. This is a drill on billboards during the marathon. But the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb during the marathon for the benefit of the bomb squad activity. And the one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let your soul play. Check out Nobody Died in Boston.
You can torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Okay, stand by. I guess
even the
back.
Government
okay.
Admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job at Osama? Had nothing to do with
echo
that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. And Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later.
I'm going to have to. This is insane. Oh, there we go. It's done. I guess we're back, everyone. Welcome back. Okay, we're back. And I'm not hearing a massive echo now, which is good. So we're here with the great Basil Valentin, one of the key members of Patrick Henriksen's posse. And in hour one, it was mentioned that Henriksen is a true journalist, and he spent, years building up trying to be legit, not naming the Jew, not naming, being a real alternative independent journalist. And the level of censorship and control by these globalist parasites is so extreme that this poor guy had 80,000 more followers. And just because he linked to an article, which is a good valid site out of Canada, globalresearch.ca, that guy's a PhD, he's a sharp guy, another independent researcher, and his whole business model, which he's trying to be on the fringes and be a real journalist, just got blown up by these social media tyrants who don't deserve to have this power, but we're under the sway of these cowards in government that don't serve the people, don't serve the Magna Carta, don't serve free speech, don't serve. It's crazy, Basil, and please give him our best regards. And it's sad, you know, that guy, he tried to play it straight, and hopefully he'll tear them all a new back end hole now that he doesn't have to play their game. So God bless him.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely scary, the power that these big tech platforms have got these days. You know, I'm generally opposed to government intervention in private enterprises, but, you know, we're in a brave new world. And there's got to be, you know, we can't allow such awesome power really to sort of cancel somebody. It's effectively, certainly as far as Twitter's concerned, in terms of his social media global reach, he's been sort of 60-70% of him has been made a non-person.
Right.
They used to do that in the Soviet Union. You know, you became a non, if they didn't like you, you became a non-person. You know, you're basically just sort of deleted. You could walk around and buy some groceries, but that was about it. You know, nobody would give you the time of day. And that's the case, isn't it, with the so-called interweb. You know, if you're deleted online, you're pretty much deleted, full stop.
Yeah, it's offensive. I mean, and and the ridiculousness, I mean, how did we get here? Well, you get here when you have these young, vacuous, shallow children playing video games and then broadcasting, playing a stupid game on YouTube and having hundreds of thousands of people watch them play a stupid video game. And it's just, it is beyond the pale, in my opinion.
No, I agree. It's very sad. So, you know, anyone out there, please give Twitter support a nudge, because, you know, we'd rather be back than simply throw stones from the outside. You know, I mean, I've only recently been active on Twitter about the last 6 or 9 months or so. And to be honest, I've been relatively impressed at the degree to which it does allow people to, you know, say what they want. You know, like all these things become something of an echo chamber. But the bête noire of the American establishment these days, Robert Kennedy Jr., his children's health defense hasn't been censored, and various other sites which have been censored on Facebook, like Ron Unz, Unz.com, is still, you know, you can still post links to that on Twitter. But it's the fact that it's so arbitrary, and the fact that he didn't get a warning or anything, you know, that literally years of work can be wiped out just with the equivalent of a stroke of a pen, you know, the press of a button.
Yeah, it's beyond belief.
I suspect we're about to come back in.
Oh, we've been in for quite a while, Jim.
Well, I've still got a bit of an echo problem, but Basil, tell us, the situation in the UK seems to me to be horrendous, that the lockdown's there and the abuse by the government is even, if anything, more profound than here in the United States, even though not quite as severe as is taking place in Australia? How would you compare and contrast these cases?
Oh, we're living in a libertarian paradise here compared to Australia. You know, what's been going on there is absolutely beyond the pale. It really is. It's insane. And they seem to keep ramping it up further with more and more threats. I mean, at least in this country, the elected politicians, well, first of all, there's a substantial cadre of MPs who are resolutely and permanently opposed to vaccine passports, which is sort of the main, in a sense, it's the main thing. You can bleat on about vaccines on the television till you're blue in the face. But so long as one's liberty is not restricted, then it's a case of so what? And they know that. And that's why they're so desperate to bring them in. And that's why people like myself are very concerned about Bill Gates accessing the corridors of power, as he has been this week, because I can't help thinking him and his minion, his bought and paid for lackey, Tony Blair, who pops up every now and then like a bad smell, you know, on our television sets, he should be in jail. He's always in favor of vaccine passports. So at the moment we don't have them, but how long that can continue to be the case, I don't know. I mean, the only case you could make for a vaccine passport would be if there was a genuinely raging pandemic out there. Everybody had been locked down, but, you know, for a period of time. And then with a vaccine that was 100% safe and effective, you allowed people who were vaccinated to mix with each other, knowing full well that anybody who wasn't was going to sort of collapse. But that isn't the case. We've all been mixing in the UK for the last several months, vaccinated and unvaccinated, in sports stadiums, bars, restaurants, nightclubs, busy trains, underground trains, buses, all over the place. So to retrospectively suddenly say, oh, now you've got to produce some form of digital ID in order to access this space. I mean, it makes no sense logically, quite apart from the fact that it's a ridiculous imposition on civil liberties. But the Australians, I was saying to Giuseppe just last week, you know, we are in Britain are the birthplace of Magna Carta. Now, I know we're a constitutional monarchy, although people have been saying recently we're no longer a constitutional monarchy. In spite of the Queen parading around last night, it's obvious that we are, in fact, an oligarchical plutocracy. But theoretically, we're a constitutional monarchy, and the limits on the monarch's power were placed by Magna Carta and various other acts, including all the important reform acts of the 19th century. We don't have a written constitution. Britain's constitution is based on precedent. You in the United States have a written constitution. You have a First Amendment. You have a Second Amendment, as well as decades, a couple of centuries at least, of precedent. The Australians don't have any of that. It's essentially a colony of former convicts, mostly from South London, which is why I talk like that, because it's a sort of corruption of a South London draw. And it's been a crown, you know, it's still part of the Commonwealth. The Queen is still head of state. So they've got this sort of distant, very distant geographically figurehead. And they don't have any history to draw on in terms of civil liberties or rights. So that's why they're more vulnerable, really, to, you know, the latest New World Order edict. And in many areas, other people have pointed out that Australia has been used as the test bed for what's coming next for the rest of us.
Scorpio.
Oh, yeah, I believe that's true. You know, I think every Western country, almost every country in the world, is under the sway of this global banking cabal, and covert power is really running the system. This idea that we live in a democracy is farcical at this point. But I really do believe that, yes, that Australia is being used as a test tube, you know, a petri dish, what might be coming next everywhere. But of course, you know, the problem they're having is that, you know, Australia, the social contract, the basic tenets of their civilization has been forever shattered. They will never gain back the trust that the people might have towards the police or their government. and the hatred of this government is going to grow worldwide. I mean, I don't see how they overcome this when you have people around the world despising the so-called leaders, or at least the puppets that are put out in public. That's what they really are. They're not the leaders at all. These are just the puppets that the power brokers parade out in front of the general population to do their bidding for them. They're essentially punching bags for the people to focus their anger and hatred on, while the true rulers, you know, stay behind the curtain. But I don't see how they get past this. I think the hatred of government is going to grow exponentially, and there's no stopping it.
Well, you know, in any kind of way, I hope so, you know, because the entire Australian regime has got to be overthrown, really. Whether that can be done through the ballot box or not, I don't know. We have these, you know, terribly imperfect mechanisms for replacing these so-called elected officials. And these elected officials, once they've assumed positions of power, have the, you know, there is, once somebody is elected, it's effectively an elected dictatorship, isn't it? There's no further mechanism for mollification of any edict that the government of the day choose to impose.
Yes, and I don't think hatred is necessarily a bad thing when it's applied properly. What are you supposed to do with these people who are essentially destroying lives and trying to transform our very civilization into, I think you made a very accurate description, a neo-feudal system. That's exactly what they're shooting for. So hatred is well placed in this circumstance, I believe. But what do you think is going to happen, like, say, in your country, in England? Are things, like, getting better, or are they getting worse there right now?
Well, we want them to get better, you know, and I hope they are going to get better, and that's what I'm holding on to. I get a bit fed up with the endless doom merchants, people that one sort of theoretically sympathises with. Oh, they're going to do this next. Oh, you realise another lockdown's coming. Oh, vaccine passports are inevitable, even though they're not. Vaccine passports are not inevitable. There isn't going to be another lockdown. Do you know what I mean? We've got to... the things that they, the shadow government, etc., want to do, through the media and all the rest of it, is constantly divert our attention and energy into manifesting what they want, right? And people get hypnotized into doing so. And what we should really be doing, difficult as it is to maintain the vision of what we want, you know? Now, that doesn't mean walking around, you know, just all, you know, love light and fluffy clouds and pretending away the darkness, but it does mean resolutely holding on to a much more optimistic, free, life-affirming vision of the immediate and long-term future than the one being presented to us by the dark cabal.
Well, I agree with that. My only caveat would be that we can't look to the government. These governments are illegitimate now. They, you know, we need to redefine what our relationship with government is, because I think it's forever broken now. And to look to think, well, the government will give us our freedoms back. No, it ain't going to happen. They're going to keep pushing this and pushing it. And here's the thing: if enough people to say no, I'm not going to participate, I'm not going to submit, you are a criminal. If enough people get to that point, there's not a damn thing they can do about it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, as people keep saying, like Neil Clark, very good writer, he's often on RT, saying, this ends when we want it to end. You know, it's up to us to turn around and say, thanks very much. We don't want any more jabs. We don't want to wear any more masks. And we don't want any more lockdowns. And we're going to carry on about our lawful business. It just needs enough of us to say that. But unfortunately, and this is the key concept, I think we mentioned this last time I was on, a substantial proportion of the population of Western societies. It's interesting because this isn't the case in the developing world. I think if you went to Africa, parts of India, Far East, to a lesser extent, South America, I'm not sure. But in the heavily propagandized Western nations, large segments of the population are now heavily traumatized and under trauma-based mind control. The trauma of 9/11 was similarly used. I go so far as to say the national trauma of 1963 was used as well. And the sustained trauma, the sustained fear-based propaganda of the last 18 months has made otherwise ordinary, rational thinking people into cowering idiots who are much more easily manipulated than they would otherwise be. Hence, I'd say again, it's just for many people, the relationship now between the sort of joint government media propaganda complex and themselves is one of sadomasochism. You know, unwillingly, people have been dragooned into being the submissive in a sadomasochistic relationship and are very easily manipulated as a result.
Go on, Jim. Well, I'm just going to announce as we approach a break that any callers who'd like to speak with Basil or Scorpio or Giuseppe or me are welcome to call in the number 540-352-4452. You'll see it on the banner on the screen, 540-352-4452. Basil, please continue.
Well, I was just going to say, do you think I've been going over the top, gentlemen?
Not at all. You're very reasoned in your descriptions. It's actually much worse than you're describing, in my in my opinion, because literally you've now got the United States controlled by these globalist parasites wanting to inject who knows what the hell nanotechnology, what type of H.P. Lovecraftian nano Cthulhu-like parasites into 5 to 11 years old. They are now have an agenda to inject into newborns over 100 vaccinations. There has never been a vaccination that's safe. That's never been one that's effective. In fact, going all the way back to the great scammer Edward Jenner, who claimed to cure smallpox, and then in the reality of that is, let me find, I have a little graphic here of the famous this is what happens when you have too many graphics and when you want to find the right one. Essentially what happened, it's there, but it's not, I can't see it. I'll just describe it. I think it's Sinclair or some famous British author was part of a commission back then with Jenner, and he said that they claimed that they had cured smallpox via quaxination, and all they did was rename it monkeypox, Jennerpox, Gatespox. Clearly I'm being facetious. That's what Gates just did. He maimed half a million children in India, gave them vaccine-induced polio, and instead of taking responsibility for his rogue and deviant actions, they just renamed, oh no, polio's cured in India, now it's flaccid leg syndrome. So there has never been a vaccine that's worth a good goddamn, and there never will be. And that is the demonic joke of it all. So it looks like we have a call, Jim. Okay, caller 727, are you there? Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Yes, I'm
here. It's Maureen. I'm calling from Clearwater, Florida.
Okay.
Go ahead, Maureen.
Go ahead.
Well, my question is, I mean, I hear everything that's going on, you know, the borders, this vaccine, they're killing people in hospitals. The bottom line is they stole the election, and they've been stealing the election since Daddy Bush what is happening here? Is there anything really going to happen? It's, we're so out of control, it's mind-boggling.
That's a great point. I'll interject that. You're absolutely right. Bev Harris, back in the day with blackboxvoting.org, proved that it used to be the Diebold machines are hacked, and now the Dominion machines are even worse because it's all in the cloud. And so you're absolutely right. Voting is meaningless unless you have a write-in campaign, or I completely concur. And all these weak-minded normies who think, oh, I'll vote for the other guy or the other woman. Right. It's ridiculous. Nothing will ever change voting in a corrupt, controlled system.
I mean, you're right. Every vaccine's corrupt. They're killing people with vaccines back in the day. You know, yep. I'm back in the, you know, mumps, measles, whatever. I don't believe any of it. And I'm sorry to say that I got a flu shot and I'm scared of that. You know, what's in them? Does anybody say anything about the flu shot? They want to give them out every year.
Well, I just had Dr. Judy Mikovits on my show, The Perfect Triangle, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, mm-hmm. Studio A. And she said that all the nanotech and the demonic, satanic tech is now in the flu shot as well. So you do not want any injection anymore. They're all going to this mRNA-based quackery that is essentially the greatest illegal experiment on the human population ever conducted.
Well, you know what? It's funny, but I just watched a video of a person opening a bottle of vitamins, and it's a cap where you can open it, and he pours it out, and there's little nanotechs in there. So I'm throwing everything out.
Wow, I didn't hear that one. Wow, that's disturbing. Yeah.
Disturbing. So what do we do about the election? I mean, you know, we went through Arizona. I'm sure that the ballots are gone in. I think this is a waiting game because it's so corrupt in the hospitals what they're doing, putting people on ventilators, killing them, getting money for that. I think we got to take the whole system down. I think all these people, you know, my mother used to say, we'll give you enough rope to hang yourself.
Well, you know, where are the heroes? Where's the warrior class to lead us in this capacity?
Well, how come we the people can't take out the government? I mean, we're all talking about it. There's so many people. I mean, this man got over 100 million votes. Why are we not all getting together and getting rid of the whole thing, all the government? Get them out of there. That's what we should be doing.
I completely agree. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, it seems to me the only political figure who could exercise the leadership to marshal this effort would be Donald Trump. And I still believe he's done great things for America. He restored our economy. He made us energy independent. He shut down the border. He put America first. In spite of his flaws, warts and all, I believe he is the man. And I would like to see him take a leadership role here. No one else really in the entire nation is in a position to do it, even remotely, in my view. Scorpio.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I share your optimism about Trump. I think we live in a system where the true levers of power are not in the hands of the politicians. All the politicians are either compromised, blackmailed, or bribed.
Absolutely.
Combination of the three. So
the point I'm making is that if that Trump were to give the leadership to advise the American people as what we ought to do about this to set things right, I believe he'd have a tremendous response. I mean, a huge percentage of Americans still believe in Donald Trump. And while I appreciate your reservation, Scorpio, the point I'm making is he's the only guy, in my opinion, who could marshal the public support to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, he can only marshal the red, white, and blue underwear wearing barbecue conservatives. He's not going to marshal anyone in the cities or anyone who's...
And we'll be back with Basel thereafter with Scorpio, Giuseppe, our callers. So stand by.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. I love watching you. Keep up the good work.
Well, we're very glad you called in with excellent questions. Excellent question. Basel, any further you'd like to add?
No, let's wait till we come back after the break, and I will regather my thoughts, gentlemen.
Very good. Now, I don't know if we're going to hear it or not, Mitchell. We should be there, right?
If it's running, I mean, they turned it down because we were hearing 1971 Space Echo Rev Radio. So,
thank you, guys. I'm going to hang up.
Thank you, Maureen. Please call back.
Thank you. Great. Bless your heart. Thank you.
God bless you, Maureen.
Well, you know, if Mitchell skipped the break, we ought to go ahead and converse because we're on the air. Scorpio, I know you have reservation about Trump. Go ahead and lay it on us. Tell us what can be done. Or do you think nothing? I mean, we got to assess the situation. Is there nothing the American people can do to save America?
Well, no, I think there is something we can do, but I don't think it's going to come from the government. I think the government is too far gone, at least the federal government. And I think what's shaping up is we're seeing various state governments sort of not wanting to play along. And I think we're going to see sort of a separation amongst the different states. You know, like Arizona, they're not doing any of this bullshit, none of it. There's no mandates, there's no masks, there's no nothing. So Florida is in a similar situation. There's other states that are following suit. So I think you're just going to see a separation of people, and the people are going to sort of group together that want to have a free society away from this insanity. And unfortunately, I just believe that the federal government is too far gone. The federal government just needs to be completely taken down. It's beyond repair, and all it does is just draw more. And I think now is suck up the entire economy, suck everything of our lives under this idea of public health is ever-expanding definition and will essentially encapsulate our entire life.
Giuseppe.
Hey, I agree, Giuseppe.
All this nonsense to a halt by mass passive resistance by everyone not going to work. I'll tell you, I don't think most people could be convinced to do it, even if it were the right thing to do. They're going to be concerned about their individual situation and not the potential of collective action.
Well, I'd like to get Basil's thoughts on that, but I will quickly interject that, yeah, the mass media has entrained the American sheeple to think that they're such strong, independent rebels, and they're spineless cowards who do everything the nanny state and the deep state tell them to do, and they allow their children to be injected and poisoned and murdered and raped by this criminal scam called quaxination. So yeah, if Americans weren't such weak-minded cowards, there'd be hundreds of thousands and millions in the streets. And the federal government, especially the cowardly Biden installed administration, would be running for the hills and begging them, what can we do to placate you, instead of seeing these handful of these traitorous Antifa burn, loot, and murder actors get all the news coverage. Like when they march, that's 100 people, and they make it seem like it's a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. It's all flotsam and jetsam of society marching. The homo, the tranny, the urban thug. Those are outliers, and yet the average, the real great middle of this society, should be clogging the streets, should be taking all the money out of one bank. Let's say they target Bank of America and destroy it, and they should destroy one oil company, target Exxon and destroy it, and show that this is the true power in our numbers. But I don't think that's going to happen tomorrow. Do you, Basil?
No, in a word.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is going to take to mobilize, you know, the great American populace these days. Unfortunately, I think sort of 50, 60, 70 years of pizza and American football has taken its toll, and the brains have been generally softened. I think that you and I, gentlemen, I'm in my late 50s now. I've got some, to be fair, I've got some friends. The education they're receiving, the general mindset into which they are inculcated these days. You know, we grew up in a time of, looking back on it now, tremendous intellectual and academic freedom, which has, you know, led us to this point where we are today. I don't know that subsequent generations are going to enjoy the same thing with this narrowing of acceptable opinion corridors, and quite frankly, the rewriting, the endless rewriting of history. I mean, numerous academic institutions, quite apart from all the media, would tell you to this day that the Oswald fiction is real, you know, even though even 20 minutes research would lead one to the inevitable conclusion that it isn't. Yeah. So, again, it's sort of, you know, twilight world. And the other thing is that most people don't want to really, they don't want to consider the depth of the evil that they're faced with. You know, it can't be that bad, surely. You know, these people that we see on our screens, we might not like them. Kamala Harris is Joe Biden's of this world, or whoever it is impersonating Joe Biden. You know, Pelosi, you know, we might not like them. They may not be great, but they can't be that bad. But in fact, the actors behind the stage putting the strings are that bad. And while we're on the subject, curious to know what you think, Jim. We all know that elected politicians are largely puppets. They're not entirely. And behind that, you have the familiar suspects of the CFR, CIA, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, all the interlocking Club of Rome, interlocking Illuminist organizations. But I'm sure that there is another power behind that, sometimes called the shadow government, the people that deal with the ETs, people whose names are not known, who are not in the general public, Illuminati key controllers who have then other people who are, have some public profile. And they're the ones really pulling the shots and directing the show.
We have two other callers standing by. The first, Bruce from Texas. Bruce, you're on the air.
All right, great. Do y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Giuseppe, I think you're spot on there. I think the government's beyond saving. I mean, it's just a total fraud. Joe Biden, is there any doubt that the Mossad and CIA have photographs and video of him, you know, intimate with a little girl, probably while she's crying, you know, and so they got him by the mans, you know, and he'll, such a scumbag, and the snake rots from the head down, you know, so, yeah, I mean, a democratic representative government is the ideal government to live under, but when it's subverted to this degree, I don't see how we can get out of it. I mean, I remember Dr. Slattery once saying that he'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. I think he kind of has a point there. I mean, I think it all started actually at the close of World War II. I'm sure, especially the boomer class, you know, they don't want to live under Nazi Germany. But I tell you what, they had a pretty functional society for their people, and they would not have tolerated what the hell we're doing to ourselves here, what they're doing to us. What do you have to say?
Scorpio,
hello?
I think the government is beyond repair, and we can't look to the federal government to do anything other than destroy more things. And as long as we have this funny money system where they can just print unlimited amounts of money, they're capable of doing anything. And it's, you know, at this point, the federal government is still infiltrated by the international Jew, the top level. It's really unbelievable. If you just look at all the top people in Biden's administration, these are, you know, what can you say? These are dual citizen international Jews whose loyalty is not to that of the country. In fact, they have an absolute hatred towards the people supposed to be governing.
Exactly. Have you seen the picture of Andy Slavitt? He was Biden's pandemic advisor. So he had a big role in shaping his policy. And he's an observant dual Israeli U.S. citizen. You know, embedded in the government, creating all this pandemic hysteria baloney, you know. And so, like I said, you know, when Germany cleansed itself of the parasites, they came over here, and now we're suffering the consequences.
Giuseppe?
Well, and sadly, those same parasites now rule Germany with an iron fist as well. It's just a tragedy, Bruce. And I'd like to get Basil's thoughts on what Bruce is saying.
Yes.
Yeah. He has to be careful being in the UK. You know, I hate to see him get in trouble or, you know.
Well, address the Basil, address the issue. Does voting even matter anymore anywhere in the first world?
Not much. You know, I think that's it only matters in as much as you can have an elective representative for your congressional district in Congress at the pork barrel level who, you know, may get some money for you to repair a bridge. Do you know what I mean? In terms of the thrust of American politics, what we call the commanding heights of political economy, rather than the radiators in primary school of politics, then no, it died in Dallas in November 1963. That was the end of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That. Yeah.
We do have two other callers online. Bryant from the state.
Thank you for taking the call. Hey, I got to go.
Conversation.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Bryant.
Yeah, Bryant's here in Washington. I'd like to ask the guest if he is aware of a news story in the BBC that came out 2 days ago announcing the new technology that we're all going to virtual reality in called Metaverse. I have a link in the Twitch chat. I guess Facebook is going to be the one behind it. They're giving $50 million in that's 36 million lira in funding nonprofit groups to help build the metaverse responsibly. So at least it'll be done ethically and we can have our children. I mean, it's just too much to keep track of. What the heck is a Zoom conference? And it's just coming in a tsunami and it's not stopping. I think Lark in Texas and Yogi in the Twitch chat are correct. We need to all do a 100% turn around, 180 degree. We can't participate in this. Your comments.
I've just Googled Metaverse since you mentioned it, and there is mvs.org, Metaverse. And listen to this for a bit of newspeak. Metaverse uses the Substrate modular framework for higher scalability.
Yeah, sure. I'll take care of it.
For higher scalability, long-term expansion and support to connect decentralized application services and allow other independent blockchains to connect, exchange information and transactions at lower cost. So there you go. That's as clear as mud, isn't it?
Well, what's interesting is I can interject is the great Jimmy Jean, who used to be a Rev Radio host and has moved on to bigger platforms. I was on several shows with him, and so was Scorpio, discussing the metaverse, and there's a competing platform called Mirror World, where they literally want to have you believe you're functioning in virtual reality and that becomes your reality. They're trying once again to push forward this transhuman agenda. It's absolutely absurd and obscene. And it's just, again, these same satanic parasites want to destroy the real divine nature and create their bad imitation of nature in the in their virtual reality cloud known as metaverse or mirror world. So they are trying to destroy the physical world, and they're succeeding. And so then they want everybody in metaverse or mirror world. It's absolutely and the end game is that they think that they can create the AI avatars that are so sophisticated that your consciousness will reside in there even though your body passes. So it is a sick path that they're trying to create.
We do have another caller from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, thank you. I sometimes was reluctant, as I was today, to call in because, as I've said recently to somebody I know, that I feel like I'm just throwing rocks all the time. You know, I just want to throw rocks and break windows for the most part, and metaphorically speaking. But I couldn't take it anymore today. A couple of things were said I want to deal with. First of all, Trump. I've said it before. I'll say it again, that Trump was and is a dead end, a cul-de-sac. I think that Jack Mullen, Dennis Camino, and others who are very perceptive have it exactly correct about Trump. If for some reason he does run again and gets elected, then that'll tell you what the deal is, okay? Because they disproved that the elections don't matter, right? That Trump actually was elected, but he's not president. So if he later on becomes president, then we know what the score is. Okay, and I've made the case before, and it's worth saying again. Trump really did nothing for the majority American people, which at this point is still whites, which is still European stock. He did really nothing for us in 4 years, and there's many things he could have done. Okay, here's the second thing I want to address. Please let me finish here.
Great guy, but Trump made the nation energy independent. He moved the exit. He closed the borders. He improved the economy. The lowest working age wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate, such as Rasmussen. In 2019, was already reporting 30% of black likely voters were going to vote for Trump. So I reject a lot of claims. They're wrong. They sound right, but they're false.
You can reject all you want. Let me make my second point, okay? And it's what Bruce said, and it's got nothing to do with Bruce. But I also have heard Patrick Slattery say a million times, I'd rather be ruled by Chinese than by Jews. In my opinion, this is traitorous and treasonous. Any white man who thinks that we should be or it's okay to be ruled by another group or another race is a despicable traitor. What's wrong with we rule? Okay? What's wrong with we win? Stop talking over me. Please. The Jews have always counted on the fact that we won't kill them. That's what they count on. That's the only thing they count on is that we won't kill them. Maybe we should change that perception of theirs. Thanks for hearing it. Bye.
What? You're not going to stick? What do you think of the theory that the Chinese have the problem? They're overpopulated. They need more land. So they want America to be depopulated so the Chinese can occupy the continental United States. Have you encountered that hypothesis? Maybe got
Paul left. There. Paul left.
Yeah, okay.
He was, he's kind of an angry Paul
there
today.
Yeah, angry Paul today. Giuseppe, pick up on this exchange. Go
well,
ahead.
I would say that from what I've read, you could take the entire 7.3 billion human population and give everybody 5 acres in Texas. So you would still have, you know, everybody would have plenty of room just in one state. So the idea that we're so crowded in China, I mean, If you ever visit China, they pack them in, but there's massive areas where there's nothing. And just like in the United States, just like in Australia, there's so much free space. It's absurd to think that there is overpopulation.
Excellent, excellent. Scorpio, your thoughts, and then Basil. Scorpio.
Well, I think that's true. But again, I think Trump's a dead end, in my opinion. He really is. And again, I don't think the federal government is under the control of the president. That's the real problem here. It's not really about Trump as much as it's about, we don't have a functioning government. It's the government ruled by a covert cabal.
Basil, your thoughts?
No, that's right. We've got no idea who's really running the show. The term deep state became popular parlance in the Trump era, didn't it? Then was sort of very quickly rubbished as being non-existent, but we all know what we're talking about, the permanent government, you know. In terms of this sort of metaverse dystopian future, a friend was reading Klaus Schwab's book the other day and posted on Facebook that it's actually economically illiterate, as well as being highly undesirable. And that what we should be doing is more local solutions in the 21st century, less globalization, less centralization, and more decentralization, with power devolved to local communities who were able to govern themselves and make their own decisions. And instead, we're moving in completely the opposite direction towards this sort of nightmarish one world government. But it's not one world of unity through diversity and respect for different traditions and peoples and all the rest of it. It's the one world that you see being popularized at the moment. I saw a hideous looking meme with, I think it was Lady Gaga in a sort of latex Knights Templar costume. And this image was being used by the World Health Organization to promote sort of one world in favor of the vaccine, something similar to that. Where one world is being used by the one world order dominion agenda, we should be not just very wary of it, but aware of the fact that it is basically the cover story for totalitarianism. Simple as that. Where you see one world being promoted, we're all one world. Well, actually, they mean, they're hijacking the term, as so many of these terms are hijacked, in order to mean, in order to be part of this one world, you've got to go along with the prevailing narrative. You've got to see the sense of world government. You've got to, support the World Health Organization and it. Vaccine mandates or whatever, climate change agenda, absolutely farcical idea that the temperature in this room has nothing to do with the setting on the heater, i.e. the sun, and is solely concerned with the extent to which either of us is farting. That's the logic of man-made global warming.
Cal farts and all. It's absolutely absurd. Go ahead, Brian. Yes.
No, go on. I'm
well, we got another caller standing by, and since time is short, I want to bring him in there. Sure. 818, sure. Give us your first name, say, and join the conversation. 818.
Hi, this is Amanda from California. I wish that your last caller, Paul, didn't hang up. He pretty much went off the handle. And that's the problem with the Americans, guys like that losing their cool. But I do agree with him about Trump. And Jim, I have a direct question for you. How is it that you can praise and support Trump when he was the main guy promoting the kill shot and encouraging Americans to take it? There's video of him out there promoting it. Anyone of any public figure or authority or anything promoting this thing is treasonous to the people of this planet. I don't care what they've done in the past. I don't care, what to me, anyone promoting this and not understanding what is involved here and not seeing the bigger picture. We can't say that Trump doesn't know what's included in this kill shot. That's insane. At this point, I don't even think that he is a human entity. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my feeling has been that he was played by Fauci and others about, you know, this fantastic number of deaths that would occur in the U.S. if we didn't shut down the economy. Where he stands now is more troublesome because he ought to know that this is a serious, serious problem and that, you know, the jab or your job is an absurd proposition because a jab has a prospect of killing or seriously harming you. You know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm increasingly troubled by the fact that he hasn't come out fully against it. He's being booed. He's being booed. I mean, you know, the public has turned on him regarding the vax and warp speed and all that happy horseshit. So I think Trump has to reassess where he stands. On the other hand, as I look at it, there's no one else on the scene who can do us any good. And if Trump can't do us any good, then I'm fearful that we really truly are lost. I mean, that's my assessment. We've always between the, you know, evils, but obviously the Biden administration is catastrophic. It's a total Rothschild. We got them calling all the shots. Everything they're doing is totally un-American. I don't think Trump is as bad, and I think he's educable. My take, but I admit we're confronted with alternatives that are not happy ones.
Yeah, the only thing is, Jim, once, why wouldn't they rob him again? You know?
Well, Jim, like, yeah, I know, I can tell that you have a soft spot for him. I'm not sure what's going to take for you to realize, to see what evil Trump is.
22 or 2024 without getting rid of these electronic voting machines for years, for decades. I've been talking about the necessity of getting rid of electronic voting machines, returning to paper ballots and hand counts, getting rid of the gerrymandered congressional districts so someone can be reelected again and again, getting private money out of public elections. All federal elections, I believe, ought to be financed by the taxpayer, and counterintuitively restoring the draft to get the American people concerned with decisions of war and peace, because right now they're nonchalant since they do not believe their sons or daughters are at risk. That's my fourfold agenda, which I've been advocating for perhaps 20 years. Go ahead.
Well, voting is a complete joke at this point. If you think that that's going to make a difference, that's completely hilarious, because They select these officials. They're not electing anyone.
Well, I'm talking about getting back to paper ballots and hand counts. You know, I mean.
I'm cool with that. But if we have to not be too naive to think that voting even counts at this point in time, because they are selecting these people. It doesn't matter. I mean, look what happened in California with Newsom. I mean, he completely lost this
all new method of print your ballot at home, a new way to steal the election. Basel, we're almost to the tail. I want to thank you so much for coming on and give you the opportunity for some final thoughts.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. All I'd say in conclusion is that we must remain optimistic, that we must remember that we have the power and not continually feel that somehow it lies outside ourselves. That's a sort of deeply held spiritual belief. But that's what they're trying to do, really, is rob us of our personal power on every level. It's never been more important. I don't think humanity as a whole has been tested like this for a long, 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 long time, thousands of years. This is, if you choose to believe in such things, this is the apocalypse. This is it. This is the final battle between good and evil. And it's being played out in every single human being's soul. And I'm afraid to say, we need to remember that and try and embody the love and compassion that is our divine nature.
Well said, Basil Giuseppe. Scorpio and I can't thank you enough for being our guest today. You were simply sensational.
Wonderful.
Giuseppe, you might squeeze in a word here before we are hit with a break.
I want to thank Basil and steer everybody to 21st Century Wire, where him and Patrick Henningsen and his other excellent journalistic compadres deliver daily print, I mean digital and audio productions. So support those folks.
Yeah, the Sunday Wire is our regular show, and that's on the Alternate Current Network, as well as on 21stCenturyWire.com, and that goes out 1 p.m. Eastern.
Excellent, Basil. Excellent. Scorpio, a final thought? Squeeze in edgewise?
Well, I think we had some great callers today, and I have to say, I think Amanda was pretty much spot on with her assessment of voting and Trump, to be honest.
That's fine. That's all fine. Basil, you were spectacular. We can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again. That was a great show, guys.